With the polar vortex bringing near record low temperatures to the Midwest this week, scientists have tied this extreme weather to the overall trend of a warming planet. That scientific consensus hasn't convinced President Trump. However, he tweeted his skepticism this week, asking global warming to come back fast. We need you. Media organizations have debated how to cover the facts of climate change for decades, but that debate has been playing out again this week. And joining us to talk about that is NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. Hi, David.
Hey, Jeremy.
Well, media organizations, including NPR, have pointed out the connection between the polar vortex in the Midwest and climate change. I noticed on a network news show, which are often criticized for not making that connection to climate change, on CBS This Morning this week, they did the same. Let's listen.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, January 30th, 2019. Welcome to CBS This Morning. Historic frigid weather makes parts of the upper Midwest feel like it's 60 below. Cities make intense efforts to get their most vulnerable people out of the deadly cold. We'll show you what's behind the winter blast and the role of climate change.
Okay, there it is. David, how have news organizations evolved in connecting these extreme weather stories to the overall trend of climate change?
Well, John Dickerson, whom you heard there, and CBS This Morning are no fools in acknowledging that role. You've seen their sort of increasing efforts by scientists and some journalists with specialty in the area to incorporate that as the science seems to be clearer about not just the fact that that man-made emissions and carbon and the warming of the environment are present and having an effect, but that you can start to make a connection to individual events. And so you're starting to see that. That is a change. You used to see particularly meteorologists on TVs, especially local but also national TV, really resist talking about climate. They're going to say, we're talking about weather. Climate is global. Climate is a whole different layer there. It's too unpredictable. Heck, we have trouble predicting more than 10 days out. And what you've seen is sort of a joining of meteorology and climate science to say, yeah, these things are interconnected in a real way. And therefore, you can start to see this in all kinds of coverage from local TV to, you know, national newspapers.
And then there is Brian Kilmeade here on Fox and Friends on Fox News. Listen.
You know, it was true that the climate change became climate change when global warming wasn't adding up to global warming. It was going very cold. And then people say with the temperature went up a couple of degrees, they go, we'll change it. We're going to start using climate change. So anytime there's a tornado, a typhoon, a flood, what did I tell you? And then there hence starts the debate.
David, what about that? Have we got past that where we can recognize that global warming is the overall trend, even if it means severe winter storms?
What climate change really means is there's global warming and the atmosphere is warming and all kinds of other things are warming. And at the same time, it's calling all kinds of weather disruption and, spikes and variables in all directions. You know, the real thing is in some ways that climate change became very much part of the political vernacular in the 1990s, in part as a result of Newt Gingrich, the Congress that came to power in 1995 in opposition to the Clinton White House, wanted to call it something that seemed less threatening than global warming, and they focus group tested the phrase climate change, and it seemed less threatening to people at a time they were trying to hold down certain kinds of regulation.
So what are the media to do when President Trump tweets out, you know, global warming, come back fast, we need you? Is it the media's responsibility to then do a whole fact-checking session about that, or do they just let it go?
You know, I don't think the media has to, in every element, go after the individual tweet. I do think it's not fair simply to say, you know, the president without any evidence says, you know, there's no such thing as global warming. I think that the media and reporters and journalists need to perform a civic and educational function of the public to say this is what the science shows and incorporate that into its main coverage and not simply just hive that off into fact-checking columns as useful as those can be for enduring correctives online. I think that the media has to be front and center and confident about reporting what it knows, make sure to contextualize it, making sure not to overstate what the science says, but to say, you know, it is appears increasingly certain that such severe weather spikes of winter chill or of summer heat appear to be increasingly likely, as are more tornadoes and hurricanes and the like as a result of climate change. And I think that's journalistically valid and important thing to do for the public so they can make the choices that affect their own lives.
We produce this show in association with the BBC World Service, And the BBC told staff last year not to include outright deniers of climate change in BBC coverage in the same way you would not have someone denying that Manchester United won 2-0 last Saturday.
Yep.
How common is that in newsrooms right now to send out a message from the top saying, here's how we're going to do it?
Well, in some ways, the Beeb, while one of the world's great news organizations, is a little late to the party. It's been a few years since even cable channels in this country, by and large, have been willing to put on climate change denialists, shall we say, people who reject the science just on the basis of what's convenient for them ideologically. And the BBC, which has a statutory mandate of even-handedness, was overcompensating. That is, if 1.5% of scientists or so believe that you can't really attribute climate change to man-made emissions or the like, it's not fair to balance that out one-on-one with somebody who believes that is the case, even if that represents 98% of scientists. And you saw that in things in Britain over the question of the debate about the economic effects of Brexit. You've seen it in this country on certain things. We've had to work out the fact that this oppositional debate in which we stage a lot of our journalism through argumentation doesn't work when the science is so clearly on one side.
NPR Media Correspondent David Folkenflik, thank you.
You bet.
And I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here Now.